Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And it was on the John Williams Show a couple of weeks ago that Raja Krishnamoorthy, a Democratic congressman, was talking about this $25 billion postal bill to fund the post office through the election to give them the money they needed. And he said then, I asked him if it was going to be a bipartisan bill. He said definitely there would be Republicans that would go along and vote for it. And in fact, two of Illinois' five Republicans did vote for the package. It passed easily in the Democratic-controlled House. One of them who didn't is Congressman Ray LaHood, a Republican from Peoria. And Darren LaHood, I'm sorry, I go back a ways. And he said on, I think it was Channel 11, that he didn't because the post office had a $12 billion surplus. Well, the BGA looked at that and they said that his pants were on fire. That's the way they assessed it. Congressman, I hope your pants aren't on fire.
Well, Steve, great to be with you and your listeners today. Here's the reality. The Postal Service has a $13 billion cash on hand. Mm-hmm. They've testified to that. And so they have $13 billion cash on hand, plus the Treasury Department has given them a $10 billion loan to get through COVID. So whether you want to, what I said was it's a surplus, $12 billion cash on hand is what it is. My point is, when we're looking at this bill of giving $25 billion, Steve, remember, we're putting this on the federal credit card. This isn't money that we have, in surplus or in a rainy day fund. And so I was satisfied that we have plenty of money to get through the election for the Postal Service to function appropriately. That's what all the leadership of the post office has said. And again, when we're $26 trillion in debt, I'm open to spending more money where I think it's appropriate. I just didn't think it was appropriate when you have an agency in the federal government that has $13 billion cash on hand. And so that's why I voted against the bill. Like everything in government, Steve, I think we have to make government more efficient, effective, and accountable. That's our obligation to taxpayers. I didn't think it was appropriate, to allocate $25 billion to go further into debt.
Did they make too much of the fact that you said it was a surplus and not a cash on hand amount of money?
Well, again, yeah. I mean, they're interchangeable from my standpoint, whether you want to say cash on hand or whether you want to say that's a surplus. The reality is they have $13 billion. To most people, that's plenty of money to get through the election cycle here. And let me also remind you, Steve, if you look over the last 15 years with the U.S. Postal Service, I mean, they've lost somewhere around $80 billion.
Right.
So,
that's kind of the point. They never have a surplus. I think that's what the people who are taking issue with what you had to say, because they're always losing money.
Yeah. Well, the reality is when we're thinking about taking $25 billion in federal taxpayer money that we don't have, when you have an agency with $13 billion cash on hand, to me, that's a head scratcher. I didn't think it was appropriate, and that's why I voted no.
All right, I want to take a quick break and come back. But before we do, you heard me stumble there earlier and call you Ray. I spent so many years talking to your dad. How's he doing?
He's doing great. He's 16 grandchildren. Him and my mom are healthy and doing well and enjoying life. And I'm trying to get him to focus on college funds for grandkids, Steve.
that's a wise thing to do. But I'm interested in the beginning, of this COVID-19 pandemic, and it hit Chicago, obviously, first in the city and hardest, or hit the Chicago metro area. And we kind of on the air were talking about how it must have felt downstate that you were having to go through all of these restrictions when really the numbers were more upstate, if you will. That's changed, and I just wonder what the attitude is in the Peoria area now when it comes to coronavirus. Have you seen a change from the beginning to where we are now?
Well, Steve, thanks for the question. Yeah, we've definitely seen a change. As we've seen all across the country, it is matriculated into rural areas and medium-sized areas, and that definitely has affected downstate. I would say this. I mean, we haven't had the infection rates or the deaths or the cases that obviously the urban areas have had. And I think, obviously, we do a lot of social distancing already and obviously been engaged in the hygiene and cleaning and all those things. So we've been lucky, and people have been responsible and following along. I think there has been some frustration, Steve, on kind of the one size fits all. You know, Illinois is, you could really divide it into three states. The city of Chicago, as you said, that's been heavily affected, the suburbs, and then downstate. You know, 75% of Illinois is farmland. And so it's frustrating for many of my constituents in downstate Illinois, the one size fits all. What I recommend at the beginning is kind of a tiered approach, with kind of a three different tiers. So
haven't we kind of moved toward that now? I mean, they divided it up into, 17 different regions?
Yeah, so it has now, but I was saying at the beginning
okay.
Kind of the one size fits all. Yeah, I represent Quincy, Illinois, which is on the Missouri border. I mean, they've had very, very low infection rates. You drive right across the river into Hannibal, Missouri, and it's completely different. And so there's a frustration with businesses and schools and kids not being able to play sports. And then you drive right across the river, and it's a different mentality. And I worry about businesses being able to prosper and thrive, and what some of the restrictive nature of what they've done in downstate Illinois. But obviously, we still got to manage this. We still got to get through it. I just wish there would be a little bit more discretion and flexibility with folks in downstate Illinois.
Speaking of thriving, though, there's not going to be a stimulus package before the election, is there?
Well, I'm hopeful. We're in D.C. this week. I remain optimistic. Listen, the Democrats want to spend $4 trillion. We're at about $1 trillion. Here's a couple things. There are still businesses that are suffering under the pandemic, Steve. Restaurants that are family-owned or not tied to a chain. The travel industry, lodging industry, hospitality industry, banquet facilities, gyms and workout facilities. I worry about these industries over the next 6 to 9 months getting through the winter. So we have an obligation and responsibility to come up with a new type of PPP-type program, a loan program. I'm supportive of that. I'm supportive of more money for cities and municipalities that have COVID-related losses. Those are things I think we ought to focus on. Those are the priorities. Some of these other things that Democrats want to spend money on, I'm not in favor of giving out more checks. I think if we keep it strategic and small, we can get something done. So I'm optimistic, Steve, that we can work collaboratively, work together in a bipartisan way, like we did in the spring, to help the American people.
So the $1,200 check to everyone, you're not in favor of that anymore. That's not going to happen.
I think there's some maybe targeted areas for that, but that's going to cost about $500 billion. I just don't know that it's justified at this point in doing that. So I'm not in favor of that. I am in favor of extending unemployment insurance benefits, but at an appropriate level, not at $600 a week. I think that's too much money, but I think we can reach agreement, maybe $300, something that incentivizes people to go back to work.
I know I've taken more of your time than I said I would, but we're going to debate the Fair Tax Amendment in the next half hour. You want to weigh in?
Well, listen, I'm not in favor of that. Yeah. Here's the reason, Steve. It's very hard to amend our Constitution in Illinois. What this gives the legislature in Springfield the ability to do is, on a yearly basis now, they don't have to go through a constitutional process to raise our taxes. They can do that arbitrarily through a majority vote. I don't have any confidence in our state legislature. When you look at, we're $140 billion in unfunded liability that's on the backs of taxpayers, I just don't feel we can give our legislature the ability on a yearly basis to raise taxes. I don't think they've deserved the ability to do that. It'd be different if we had a $140 billion surplus. We don't, and that's why I'm against it.
Congressman Darren LaHood, thanks very much for joining us. I appreciate it. Get Congress to do something with the stimulus, will you?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Steve. Have a great week.
You bet.